Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our recollection series today. We're going to talk about a fullback of old, and there were a lot of them for the Ravens, but this one is special. Ovi Mahaley, who came to the Ravens in 2003, here to talk to me about him, is Alec Boulianos. Alec, how are you doing?
Doing well. Definitely fun to talk about fullbacks. During my studies of it, I was thinking to myself, has anyone taken LaRon McClain? He'd be another fun one to talk about.
Yes, but, and someone has taken LaRon McClain. In fact, two people have requested it.
Yeah, I didn't start researching him because I was wondering, I was like, I'm not going to waste my time. Someone already called him, but that's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that episode. But yeah, it's definitely fun to talk about Ovi Mahaley because he's such an interesting player. Underrated in my opinion, but he had a very short time of impact for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And incredibly impactful when he did get his big chance and his big break. And we'll get into some of that a little later, but he came to the Ravens out of Wake Forest, a fourth round pick in 2003, the highest the Ravens have spent on a fullback, along with Juszczyk, who was also a four. You think you draft a fullback that high, he's going to get a chance right away. But Alan Ricard, who had blocked for in 2003 for Jamal Lewis, was still there. And, after that season, he wasn't going to be dislodged. The Ravens obviously comfortable having multiple fullbacks on the roster at this point. Not only did they have Alan Ricard at the beginning of his career, but after Ricard left and he got the full-time job, and actually I think Ricard might have gotten hurt, but in 2005, when he got the full-time job, that was also the year they drafted Justin Green, if you remember that name, a guy who was around with the Ravens for a couple of years playing really, really exclusively special teams.
Yeah, I forgot about Justin, but Ovi was a fun one. We talked about it a couple of years back. I think it was actually right at the beginning of COVID. We did like a comp pick, bracket, and he did quite well in their comp pick bracket. One of the great players the Ravens have used the compensatory pick formula to find and add to the team.
I didn't know that. So, and he was an end of the fourth round pick then. That's that's interesting. So, Mahaley is around in 03-04, played very sparingly, and he was actually active only very sparingly. So the Ravens weren't even using a game day activation on him because they had Ricard for most of the time. But in 2005, he's active for 13 of the 16 games. I think he might have been hurt. I don't think he was inactive as a healthy scratch because he was playing every game then by then as the fullback. But if you look at 2004 through 2008 for Jamal Lewis, notice a very sharp drop off. I mean, Jamal Lewis actually, as great a career as he had for the Ravens got out at the right time or even 2 years too late. He in four of his last five seasons, he had 3.6 yards per carry or less, which is, by the way, that is a long time to last as an NFL running back when you're getting that few yards per carry. He did have the one big year with the Browns, which was pretty good, about 4.4 yards per carry. And it had about 5,000 yards, I want to say, are pretty close. It was certainly over 4,000 in those last five seasons. So it wasn't like he was completely unproductive on an aggregate yards basis, but he wasn't very productive as a success rate runner at that point.
Right. And in the 2006 season, he was also complaining about not getting enough touches. And that was actually kind of the turning point for Mahaley as well. Billick started taking the opportunity to call plays instead. And at that moment, that's when Mahaley started getting, you know, more use sometimes just blocking, right? And other times, I'd say maybe one of the most exceptional ball in the flat, you know, do something with it guys we've ever seen on the Ravens. He just had a real knack for that. And, you know, that was like part of his breakout.
Yeah, I mean, if you put together Vontae Leach's size and ability to use his momentum, I mean, Mahaley was a physical specimen. I mean, other players who have played the fullback position well for the Ravens, and obviously there's a huge number of them. There's been a lot of guys who've been big, a lot of guys who really understood how to maintain their momentum, a lot of guys who really, you know, understood positional blocking very well, could get into the hole quickly. I mean, but Patrick Ricard has nothing on Ovie Mahaley as a physical specimen. Ovie, I'm sure Ovie is faster, and he's an enormous human being to try and pull down. And we saw some of that in the breakout game, which I want to come back to. I had forgotten that was the moment that Fossil, you know, left the Ravens and Billick took over. I need to like line that up exactly. To see if that's the game exactly that happens.
I know it is.
So Tennessee is the first game that Billick had the reins again.
It was either Tennessee or the game before against, I forget who it was.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's right. I think it might have been Cincinnati. The way I gleaned this, by the way, is like if you watch enough of Jamal Lewis's highlights, because like that's how I was trying to find Mahaley highlights. There's a couple of videos on YouTube. Is they start talking about like, oh, they're giving him the ball more. I believe it was the Bengals game, and in that game, Jamal Lewis carried 30 times for like 113 yards, but they were saying it was very consistent 3 yards every time or whatever. Okay,
I'm looking at the Baltimore. It looks like it was on the bye week. It happened, so it was the New Orleans Saints game after the bye. They just lost two straight, and. There's an article that's October 18th, 2006. That was 3 days after the loss to the Panthers. And they came back and they beat the Saints with, you know, Drew Brees throwing a bunch of interceptions. And then it was the first of five straight wins. That is really interesting. That is a great point you're making here, that this could have been a Billick-driven decision to get Mahaley more involved. And certainly everything he basically had offensively with the Ravens was after that point. And I got a few stats here on that. Prior to the game at Tennessee on 11-12-96, and he did have a reception the previous week, but he had eight career targets prior to that Tennessee game for 16 yards and zero career rushing attempts in, you know, 2.5 seasons with the Ravens.
Right.
The rest of 2006, 22 targets, 20 receptions, 8.1 yards per target for a freaking fullback, 8.1 yards per target. I mean, it's incredible. And 12 rushes for 50 yards. Which is, by the way, is very deceiving. That was Mahaley's best rushing in terms of yards per attempt, but Mahaley, terrific success rate runner in short yardage. And that's he has a very high career success rate of 59.3%, which is that's off the charts good for a running back or a fullback. And it's primarily being of short yardage. But he had 20 first downs on 42 career carries. So that should mean something to some people, but I know it probably wouldn't have to me 10 years ago. But if you have that many successes, that's almost a good enough overall success rate right there in terms of getting first downs. But there's other times where you keep your team ahead of the sticks in addition, where you where that would be successful. But remarkably successful as a runner, despite I think it's 2.9 yards per carry career.
Right. And I mean, I can tell you 20% of those yards came on an 11-yard run against the Steelers. one of his many first downs. But he definitely just showed, even on the, like you said, I felt he had really good contact balance. Like the first guy almost never got him down. So then he was able to stumble and bumble for, you know, a couple more yards. Or like you said, in short yards, you know, get the 1 yard they needed or the 2 yards they needed in order to get the first down, which is all you're really asking for in that situation. And, definitely, like, I thought his athleticism was really evident, too, when he was blocking. He could get in front of the play and initiate first contact and just, you know, there's a couple good highlights you'll see where he just, you know, leads the way. Kind of like Stanley did that one pit lock where he just, like, runs the guy right into the tunnel. There's a couple of those for Ovie Mahaley as well where he just runs out in front, great feet, and no one's stopping him. He just clears the path.
Yeah, the feet are a good point because, you know, offensive linemen, when they get out in front of a screen pass, watch what they do against quicker players. And the ones who aren't good or aren't quick enough get lungy. And they leave their feet mm-hmm. in order to try and contact or affect the defender they're working with. That's almost always a losing proposition, by the way. You're better out positioning the defender than you are leaving your feet and trying to make contact. But offensive linemen just can't help themselves out in space a lot of the time. But anyway, with regard to the Mahaley, good job of keeping his feet. Not quite like a wide receiver in that way, but he understood how to do it and maintain a block well. And he blocked like a lot of bigger wide receivers do in a way, in that they know how to keep their feet and continue to maintain position as a ball carrier. Moves relative to him. If you look at Miles Boykin and what he did for the Ravens, there's other players. Boykin is just a recent example who was particularly good.
Mm-hmm. I definitely thought, too, the other interesting part about his game is that he managed to have more all pros than Pro Bowls, which is usually not the case. It's usually the other way around. So his first year, the 2006 year, he was recognized as an all pro, but he was not a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, two All-Pro, two selections, and he won his only Pro Bowl with Atlanta on his second deal. Had a good career in Atlanta. My understanding is he's still down there on the radio somewhere. By the way, I would, especially with the radio background, I bet he would be a great interview. So I'm going to tag him on this show. Ovi, please contact me on Twitter, if you will. DMs are always open. I'd love to have you on the show. Talk a little bit about what your technique was in terms of playing football, but I'd love to hear that. The last time I tagged him on something, it was about his 30-yard reception was finally beaten after many years for the longest ever, and he responded right away to that.
that was a chances. Super cool play. Well, he's an activist now. He's like very involved. He's trying to improve the environment. He had a nice, there's like a 15-minute talk that he does, trying to improve the environment. He gives a good story about his child. When they were born 2 months premature. They get, you know, to good health in the hospital, but the day that they're supposed to release, they couldn't release him because the air quality was so bad that day. And he was like, I have the best car seat, you know, for my kid, but I can't improve the air. So that was a trigger point, to really get more involved. I think he was already involved, but that really, expedited it. So it was kind of cool. And he's done, like you said, a couple other media kind of appearances and stuff. So definitely an interesting post football career.
That is that is very cool. Very cool indeed. The Falcons paid him a lot of money at the time. It wasn't a contract I don't think the Ravens could afford to have matched in 2006, but he was a hell of a player. Just the Ravens technique has always been, we'll move on to the next fullback when the guy gets too expensive. I know that's kind of funny saying right now when we're paying Patrick Ricard a lot of money, but in a relative sense. But for most of Ravens history,
didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms, at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Had a fullback for one or two seasons,
and he earned the largest contract fullback at that time, so definitely a great payday for Haley.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things I was trying to think of is there another example of a Ravens player who instantaneously became such a large part of the offense, basically on the result of, I think, one play, but you could say one game. And it might be the coaching change now is in the front of my mind right now. But can you think of another Ravens player in history who all of a sudden they said, hey, wait a minute, that guy can catch the ball. That guy can run after the catch. That guy can run the football. You know, it's,
I mean, the bias right now is Keaton Mitchell, right? Like the second he's available, he's amazing. Yeah, that's a question, I think, if there's someone else who, once they made their impact, they were on the field and they were wondering how you get more and more touches to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's, the wow moment was that really special 30-yard touchdown catch against the Titans. Let's take you back to November 12th, 2006 for a moment, because that date has a special meaning in Ravens history. And if ever they get a chance to play there on that date, that's really pretty cool. 11-12 of 2000, the Ravens went to Tennessee and won the first game ever by an opponent at Adelphia Stadium. That was one on the 2-yard pass to Patrick Johnson. I think that's right.
I'm going to trust you.
This is 2000. I think it's Patrick Johnson. A 2-yard touchdown pass to Patrick Johnson after the pass interference play and the Dilfer interception put him down by 6 points. Del Greco missed the extra point. They came back and scored a touchdown, and then they still had to survive a missed field goal, I believe, at the end of that. So anyway, that 24-23 win was the first ever by an opponent. So it's 11-12 of 2000. 11-12 of 2001, you know, 365 days later, they're back there again playing Monday Night Football. And they led 16-10, and they had the fourth down play where the Titans got immediately to the line and snapped it with effectively no time on the clock. There's a question of whether they were set and whatnot. Boulware touched the opponent going through the line, which killed the play, and they had a penalty, which is half the distance of a yard. And then they ran the play again, and the Ravens stopped it. And Sharper and Harris stopped them at the 1 yard line. So that's 11-12 of 01. Then this game is 11-12 of 06. Well, now Vince Young is the quarterback for the Titans, and Steve McNair is the quarterback for the Ravens, of course, in this season. And Derek Mason also with the Ravens too, but the Ravens trailed in that game 26-7 in the second quarter, not the kind of comeback you typically make for a Ravens team. The Ovi Muhaley touchdown catch is what really started the comeback going. A 30-yard pass from McNair is about the fourth read on that play. Delayed release, ball out a little bit on the left side, probably between the numbers and the left hash, caught, runs completely over one Titans player. And I meant to look that up and just pull the video out and pop it in before the thing so I know the player. I don't think it was Keith Bullock, but I think it was a linebacker that he ran right over kind of on that left sideline. And just, you know, it was a wow moment.
Yeah, it was two large men and OV won. And that was a really cool run. After that, no one's catching him, which is funny to say for a guy so big, like you said, but he just, you know, stumbles. It's like not nice to him. Just like rumbles in, you know, and spikes the ball, really big celebration. And like you said, that did kickstart a comeback. And that was another thing you kind of can glean from his highlight reel. There was one that was more of just him like celebrating, you know, a guy that I thought he was a really high motor player. You could see that even on special teams where he contributed first before he got his chance on offense. And I mean, like I said, in space, he was great getting to level two and just, like I said, played with a very high motor and kind of one of the players that, you know, plays like a Raven.
Let's see, what else do we have to talk about here? Yeah, other big moments from your memory of him.
Oh yeah, so the other thing that was kind of cool is again, like I said, you had to go watch Jamal's highlights to find it, but he was key to two blocks for touchdowns for Jamal. So Jamal's two touchdown runs against the Texans, Ovi puts a great block on that, you know, starts, you know, he didn't count for all 30 yards, but he sprung him for the initial, through the initial part, first contact. So definitely good contribution in that part of the game too.
All right. He had a 9-yard touchdown pass he caught from Bowler that put the Ravens up 14-3 in a damn important game, the division clinching game in 2006. Now, if you remember, they had a chance to clinch going to Cincinnati 4 days after they just knocked the crap out of the Steelers 27-0 with 9 sacks on that Thanksgiving weekend. And on Thursday, they had to play Cincinnati, and they were down 13-0 late. They made a comeback and lost, I think, 13-7 is how they ended up losing. But if they'd won that game, they would have clinched. Instead, they had to clinch, I think, 2 weeks later when Bowler was in there for McNair as a backup. I don't think there was real angst because the Ravens only lost 3 ball games the whole year. But there was you know, people were getting anxious for the Ravens to clinch the division and stay in there for a bye week that year because the Chargers had the number one seed. But the Ravens didn't have the bye week set up. The Colts were in position to get it. And it, I think the second to last week, they moved ahead of them. But anyway, Muhele caught a 9-yard touchdown from Bowler. That put him up 14-3. I'd love to say it was the lead they didn't end up losing, but it wasn't the lead they ended up losing because the game got tied at 17 before the Ravens came back and won it 27-17. So another highlight for us. And that was his other touchdown as a Raven.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, he didn't have too many touchdowns. Like I said, you know, the highlights are maybe a little limited. But if you look at those plays, you know, just as a blocker where they're not, you know, they're not on the stat sheet, that's where he really added his value. Like I said, special teams too. There's one where he was like the last guy to get a tackle, you know, and then otherwise the guy could have ran free. He made the tackle, and that was obviously a big play. So, yeah, just a great player and a fun guy to go and look back on.
Yeah, I do appreciate you doing this one with me, Alex. I got one more to say is that one of the fan bases that Muhele consistently frustrated was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't troll the boards in terms of putting up, you know, inflammatory comments on other teams' boards, but I will go to other boards and just see what the discussion is like after a game, because I think it's an interesting narrative in terms of how the other team's fans are looking at the results of a game. But I remember one particular Pittsburgh poster who shall remain nameless, but you know who he is if you recap stuff on the Pittsburgh Steelers, which giving it away right away who it is. But anyway, he was very frustrated with the fact that Muhele had a couple of long runs in one in each game against the Steelers. In fact, it's the two longest runs of his Baltimore career, 9 and 12 yards. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, were against the Steelers. He had 4 for 21 in each of those two games. But despite the Steelers, you know, very good defensive front of that era, he was able to make some hay in the division. So that was nice. And those two Steelers games in 2006 are one of the real high points of the entire rivalry. I know we had a lot of close games, a lot of cool games, a lot of great comebacks, you know, the 92-yard drive, the Hushmanzada play in the back of the end zone. And, you know, there have been plenty of good plays for the Ravens. There's also been plenty of disappointment. But the two shellackings in 2006 are a lot of the fun.
Yeah, it's always fun to see Troy Polamalu chasing, you know, and not in the right position. So, yeah, that's definitely definitely one of the highlights, like you said, of the rivalry, and something in a way I hope comes back. You know, the Steelers are a little lost in the wilderness right now. They give us a good fight every time we play them. Don't get me wrong, but they're just never seen as, like, you know, equals. So I would love to see that again. That'd be fun.
Right. Yeah, that'll be an interesting thing. They're probably going to have to find their quarterback, and they are really having trouble getting that done right now. And it is a little strange to say that after the Ravens are like 1-7 against the Steelers over the last 4 seasons, but
right.
Complete difference in the level of play of the franchise at this point. So, the 1-7 doesn't hurt. You know, a lot of it was without Lamar, et cetera, et cetera. But still, it does seem funny to say that the rivalry is not what it was when the Steelers are still beating the Ravens fairly regularly.
Right. I know. Yeah. I know.
All right. Well, outstanding stuff. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for this. This is just the right length for these episodes. What we're trying to do is about 20 minutes. But Alec, always enjoy talking football with you, of course, and in addition to a number of other things. But tell people where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at @apulianis, or you can find our podcast, One Winning Pod, on Twitter as well.
All right. And I usually just tag him as @onewinningpod when I do that. But I know you have another place where you're looking for things. Hopefully that's all in one tweet deck where you can keep it all together.
I'm not on Twitter too much anymore, but it's okay.
All right. Well, very good. And give their pod a chance. I think, you know, it's an interesting group of guys, all tech guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
who have a little bit of a different take on football and definitely worth a listen. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up with your idea. Open to everything, in particular, looking for people to do the recollection series. So if you have a player from the past, not looking to do the top players, you know, Suggs or Yanda or Ray Lewis or Ed Reed, we'll handle them another time. This is for guys that you really enjoyed, second tier, third tier players. Bravery in terms of a player was Laquan Williams, which was the first one I posted. So I thought that was a very brave choice. All you really need is about three recollections, and we'll kind of craft the story around that. But if three big plays is enough to tell the story and usually leads to other rabbit holes and whatnot in a good discussion, just looking for some additional engaging people to have on the pod. And you guys do not disappoint me in general. Alec, thanks again for coming on.
No problem. Thanks.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.